This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realising that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think therefore just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Okay, let's crack on. What do I say at this bit? I've only been
You say welcome, welcome, welcome. You tend to do three welcomes.
Why do I do three?
I don't know.
Nerves.
I don't know.
Three for every single year we've been doing this now. Speaking of which, it is... Oh, I'm dead excited. I know what I'm going to say. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm really conscious of that now. To Over the Influence. We have been doing this podcast for 3 years as we record, which is really, really exciting, which means... I started recording this podcast when I was 1.5 years alcohol free. Now at 4.5 years, absolutely life changing stuff. I've not even given you my name yet. Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name's Sharon Hartley, chatting to you from Lancashire in the northwest of England. Like I just said, 4.5 years now alcohol free. Only ever wanted to take a quick break from booze and then get fully back on it after I proved that I didn't have an issue, you know, just a quick reset, it'll be fine. And everything changed, absolutely everything changed. I completely and utterly fell in love with alcohol-free life, sobriety and everything it brings. Hence why this podcast exists, because we sing about it week in, week out. And we've been doing it now for exactly 3 years. Ben, can you flipping believe it?
No. When we start... Hello, I'm Ben. I'm 34. I live in Liverpool. Dad to Leo. Quick shout out as we record this today is World Down Syndrome Day. Leo was diagnosed with Down Syndrome 4 days after he was born. He's the most lovely, beautiful, fun, determined, brave, kind, just everything little boy. I love him and he's amazing. But just a quick shout out for World Down Syndrome Day. But no, I can't believe we've been doing this for 3 years, Sharon, because I didn't think that we'd get beyond the first few episodes, because who on earth is going to want to listen to a podcast about people who choose to remove alcohol from their lives? I just couldn't quite get my head around it. I didn't know anybody. Like, everyone drank. In my 20s, I drank because it was fun. In my 30s, it started to change. And the binges weren't going out and having a great time. I was actually drinking because I was getting more stressed. Big corporate job, the stresses of that. It wasn't going the right way for me. So look, I decided to knock it on the head in July 2020. And I will very soon, if not already, depending on when this episode comes out, be 1,000 days alcohol free, which is
ridiculous.
Nuts. Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't it bonkers? Isn't it?
Bonkers, love. It's bloody bonkers.
It's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers.
I'm not sure our American guest. Yeah. Our American guest is kind of looking blankly at us through Zoom. Sharon.
I know what bonkers is.
Oh, okay, great.
Excellent.
Great, great,
great. That's brilliant.
People are like, that's crazy. But
yeah.
Enough of us wanging on about ourselves. We just get really giddy. We get really excited.
Well, I was going to say congratulations. So 3 years is incredible. I actually hit 3 years with my podcast on May 14th. So I think we like started it right around the same time. I'm on episode, 154.
Oh, it will be so about good. The same time, Casey.
Yeah. So also congratulations on 1,000 days and 4.5 years. I mean, when you start out, when I started out, I couldn't get 4 days. I mean, it was crazy to me. And I hit a month ago, I hit 7 years alcohol free.
Wow.
I know.
That's brilliant. That is so good.
Way older than Ben too. When you were telling your age, I was like, "Are you kidding me? You're a baby."
And I feel like he's, I feel like he's weird sober auntie sometimes. Yeah. It's strange, strange relationship.
Yeah, go on, Auntie Shaz, get with your big intro.
Please God, never call me that again. I don't like it.
No, only when Leo's on my lap. That's the only time I can call you Auntie Shaz.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This podcast is all about the guests, and we're so excited to chat today. I get really excited when we've got guests across the pond. So we are in Seattle today. Honestly, I'm so small town, it's embarrassing. Casey Davidson, sobriety coach for busy women quitting drinking, 7 years alcohol free. Casey, welcome to Over the Influence. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. I was going to say, I love talking to other podcasters too. I don't know why. It's just so fun.
Really, really good. Well, we've got loads of stuff to talk about. Thank you so much for your time. The first thing I want to read to you and mention is something I saw on your website, and I thought this was fantastic. Trying to sort of, you know, learn a little bit more about you, Casey. I'm a practical dreamer, a retired people pleaser, an ex-red wine drinker, a homebody, and a world traveller. Two things in there, the retired people pleaser and an ex-red wine drinker, they maybe go hand in hand, do they?
Oh, yeah. I definitely quit drinking first. And, I mean, I was always a people pleaser. And it took me, I mean, I feel like once you stop drinking in sobriety, you have to, you know, clearly stop, you know, you need boundaries, right? Because it's so easy to drink when people want to hand you a drink or, you know, a lot of times we drink because we're doing stuff that we don't really want to do. And it's a way to like push down that intuition and that being uncomfortable. And also you have to get way more confident and comfortable just being with yourself when you're alcohol free. So, you know, there's definitely, I think for everyone, it's different, but everybody has work to do when they stop drinking and are just kind of left without their completely maladaptive, but their coping mechanism.
I'm so nosy when people come on to our Zoom calls and I'm like, just having a look there in the background. And I can tell that you're really proudly alcohol free because I think there's a mug on the side there that says something AF. And then just behind you, big letters, an A and an F. Tell me about those.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I got my sober AF since 2016 mug. I'm proud. I mean, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
And I think being proud of it's awesome. I love the, like, everybody says sober AF and, you know, it's sort of like sober as fuck or sober alcohol free or AFAF. And I know that the AF, I have like these big letters that light up behind me that say AF. I originally bought them because I started having parties. Almost all my friends still drink, right? They're my drinking friends. I have a separate awesome group of sober friends that I've built up over the last 7 years, and we hang out all the time. But so had a big party and had like all, I'm a big fan of alcohol-free beverages. I mean, any good ones didn't exist when I quit drinking 7 years ago. But in the last 3-4 years, just the explosion of alcohol-free craft beer that like tastes exactly like real beer and groovy. I love alcohol-free Prosecco, you know, it's 0.0 and bubbly rosé. So I had a whole spread of alcohol-free drinks with AF on top of it, you know, that had like beer and wine and all this stuff. And then also all the boozy drinks for the people who brought them. And so I wanted to very clearly mark, hey, this is the alcohol-free section, because my sober friends were there too. And I got it. And then I'm just like, I like it. But people who aren't alcohol-free are like, do you just have as fuck on your bookcase behind you? I was like, yeah, maybe.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Now, Casey, I know that you're a fan of structure because you are a podcaster. We will be coming on your podcast very soon.
Yes, I'm excited.
I'm very excited about the Hello Someday podcast. You've sent us an incredible amount of detailed notes ahead of that. I hope that you didn't feel too uncomfortable joining us on this Zoom call with notes in preparation from Over the Influence. But I know in terms of the structure of things now, we probably should say to take us back 7 years, tell us, you know, what made you decide to go fully alcohol free? But I want to jump in and ask straight away about the people pleasing thing. Yeah. I think that's so interesting. I've got a quote on my quotes board here from the actor Aaron Eckhart. And he said, "The day you stop caring what other people think of you is the day your life begins." I love that quote. I absolutely love it. Why do you think that people pleasing and drinking go hand in hand, or, you know, go the other way? Why do you think that sobriety and not giving a F?
I had never thought of that. I had never thought of that connection. All right.
Why does that go hand in hand?
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to say is that you said, I'm looking at my quote board, and I love that. I am like the biggest vision board quote girl ever. If you went into my garage, I have like 20 vision, you know, boards up there with all these quotes. Like at one point after, I mean, I had like one little vision board when I was quitting drinking. It helped me so much just rewiring my thoughts and staying positive and letting go of the worry of what everyone thought of me. But then when I was like 2 years sober, I started making more and more. And my husband came home and he was like, "What the hell is happening?" And I was like, "Don't worry about it, babe. I'm manifesting the shit out of life."
Like, yeah, love it.
Just go with it. So,
do you want to know what's on, just quickly on a side note, do you want to know what's on my vision board?
Here we go.
One day in my lovely home, I don't want a man cave. I don't want it to be like, oh, there's a PS5 in there and I would like a quote room. Oh, yes. Come into my quote room where every wall is donned. It's not just one singular quotes board. It's my quotes room. Would you like to come and join me in the quotes room?
Oh, my God. No, thanks.
No.
I would love that. Seriously, I have to send you a picture of the vision boards with all the quotes on my wall in my garage. I will shoot it to you afterwards.
Please do.
So you've got a best friend for life here. You really have.
Quotes up there, like whenever you're talking about me, be sure to end with, "Well, she's doing her own thing though." Like that was one of my quotes up there. I had, "Stop worrying about what other people think." Most of them don't even know what they think of themselves. "Stop taking directions from people who aren't going where you're headed." I mean, all these things that apply not only to stopping drinking, but also to, I think I drank a lot because I was like trying to do something in my career that was like fundamentally square peg round hole. And yet I loved it. You know, you mentioned I was organized. I love being an individual contributor, right? At work, I love marketing. I get really into podcasts. I get really into all the projects. And then as you keep going on, oh my God, someone said she signed up for my vision board template online. Okay, thanks. Sorry.
So good.
We should probably say some of our OTR community members watch these live podcast recordings. It's not just like someone in the ether, someone's put in the chat box on Zoom. Amazing, yeah. Maria, by the way. That's so cool.
So, oh my gosh, people pleasing. So I, you know, had gone down this path and it really stressed me out, you know, as women. I don't know if it's more common than women, but I had the full like imposter syndrome. I was a director at a Fortune 500 company. I had a ton of responsibilities. I had a team underneath me. And yet I would go home like, how am I going to hit these numbers? How am I going to hit these profit margins? You know, always felt like I was like one step away from getting fired, even though I kept getting promoted, which stressed me out even more. And so I really needed, when I think I drank because of that, because it helped me take my mind off that worry. But also, you know, people pleasing is, in my mind, it was around staying safe, staying likable. If people liked me, then I would be safe and secure, both financially and emotionally and socially. And it was exhausting, right? It was totally exhausting to do. And the weird thing was, which cracked me up, that I clearly drank a lot. I mean, I was a bottle of wine a night girl, sometimes more. I drank 7 nights a week, right? I was like a 365 night a week drinker, unless I was trying to not drink, which was like white knuckling it. So I drank at all these happy hours. I drank on business trips, right? I would like trip and skin my knee on the way home from a business dinner and be like, oh, yeah, that was fun. I was hungover at conferences, like brutally hungover. And yet my fear was if I stopped drinking, like I would not be able to get ahead in my career, right? How would I bond with people? If I stopped drinking, would people think I had a problem with alcohol? And what would that mean? Would they be uncomfortable around me? And, you know, spoiler alert, I stopped drinking. If you do it in a positive, confident, empowering way, that's a choice. People don't end up judging you. Like I had very, very few people be like, oh my God, did you have a problem with alcohol? Whereas in my mind, I clearly had a problem with alcohol, but like my career got way better and my job got way easier. And I also got the clarity to figure out that it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I wasn't strung so thin and trying to recover and blaming myself that I was able to shift my career to coaching and podcasting and away from, you know, working at a big corporation.
I'm really interested in what you just said there about sort of owning your sobriety, doing it confidently. This is who I am. And therefore, you might just get a bit less shit from other people. But Casey, how do you navigate that then in the early days when you think you can't get through that first weekend? Never mind the thought of a work conference, business lunch, your wedding, not your wedding, a wedding, you know, guest, your birthday, these big things that seem so unimaginable. You know, I've mentioned that I'm now 4.5 years alcohol free. The first 4.5 days, I was miserable. I was angry. I didn't want to be alcohol free. I didn't even know what sobriety was. I had no clue. And I think confidence was probably the last thing on my list. Yeah. Nowadays, I will sing about it from the rooftops. And
I'm all the time.
Really confident and really, really proud in that. But that took a long time to build. So I'm curious to know how you would suggest navigating that in the really early stages of,
I mean, I think I'm like you, like I was not confident at all in the beginning, but I did present it in a positive way, which as opposed to sort of apologizing for not drinking. And I think that makes a huge difference. First of all, I had a coach. I'm a sober coach now. That helped me a ton. Trust me, before I stopped drinking, I tried all the ways, mostly like if I just think I'm the worst person in the world, therefore I will hate myself enough to stop drinking, or let me go on a diet or work out at 5 a.m. or do all the reasons that I'm going to stop drinking without actually stopping drinking. You know, I think the coach helped me a lot in my sort of last effort. So one of the first things she said to me was, nobody wants to stop drinking. Nobody who loves drinking the way we do actually wants to stop. You want to feel better. And you just have to trust me that when you stop drinking for a little while longer, you will feel better. So I did not want to stop drinking. I loved it. It was like, you know, an ex-boyfriend that I loved so much more than anyone else ever could. You know, like it was, I did not want to stop. And yet, I couldn't feel the way I felt anymore. Like, I was worried about my mental health. I was, you know, felt like any additional request would break me. I was, I always say I didn't ever hide how much I was drinking, meaning like my husband knew I drank a ton. But I did, right? We do it in little ways. Like, we put the bottle behind something in the kitchen so we and they don't have to look at it. We finish a bottle and I put it under the newspapers in my recycling. You know, I completely hid how much I was drinking. Just psychologically, I didn't think I did. And so in the beginning, here's what I did. I told everyone, I signed up with my coach, told nobody. My husband had no idea I'd signed up with a sober coach, which is hysterical. I told everyone, my husband, my girlfriends in my morning workout group, my colleagues, my friends I hang out with outside, that I was doing a 100-day no alcohol challenge as a health kick. my husband said, sure, I'd said that kind of thing before. I had never made it past 4 days. But what he didn't know is that this time I had support and I had accountability and I had a person to sort of hold my hand through everything. So I presented it because nobody was going to not notice that I was not drinking. Like some people are like, oh, I'll just say I'm not drinking tonight. Like I've never not drank tonight, you know, in the entire universe. So told everyone. And then my coach kind of held my hand like, okay, I'm going to drink that first night. Of course I got all the alcohol out of my house. I was irritated, sensitive, grumpy, pissed off. You know, my first call with my coach, I was like, okay, here's what I'm worried about. I am going to Venice, Italy and Croatia with my family. I am a red wine girl. I've been to Italy many times before. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, all right, when is that? I was like, dead serious, like 4 months from now. So basically, like, this is never going to work. And she was like, let's talk about it in 3.5 months. So I wrote her before I went on a date with my husband. I was terrified to go on a date with my husband. We were, you know, boozers, right? Turns out I knew I drank a lot more than him, but he still drinks. But I had to be like, all right, what are we going to do? Are we going to go to sushi? Because I never drank sake. So, and green tea goes with that. Are we going to go to the movies? Are we going to go to a park? I couldn't go to a bar or an Italian restaurant. Everything like telling someone who invited me to their boozy book club that I wasn't drinking right now. And so basically I got close to 100 days and my coach was right. I felt better, amazingly. I couldn't believe I lived the way I lived when I was drinking. My mental health was better. My physical health was better. I looked better. I had more confidence, sober sleep. I probably hadn't slept well in decades. And I still, life was not perfect at all, right? There's all the stuff you have to deal with. But I said, okay, I feel good enough. I want to go for 6 months. And then when I got to 6 months, I was like, I was pretty sure I needed to never drink again. So I was like, I'm going to go for a year. It wasn't until I got to a year, I was like, I think I'm done. You know, I think I'm done drinking. And that was the way I did it with confidence. But I never said to anyone who didn't get it, I am worried I have an issue with alcohol. I am worried I shouldn't drink. Oh, dear God. I just was like, I'm doing a help kick. I feel better. And by the way, I put all of that, I did talk to people about being worried about having a problem with alcohol, about how much I drank, about how awful it was, and yet I loved it. But I talked with the people who understood it, like in the private communities or with my coach, you know, the amount of harm that alcohol does to your body and your physical and your mental health and your relationships and your level of optimism and confidence and not getting support because you're not being honest about what you struggle with because you're ashamed of it. I mean, I felt doomed and I was really worried that I was going to fuck up my marriage and my kids and my life. And it was going to be my own fault and my health. I mean, it took me a long time to stop drinking. When I talked about once I stopped drinking, I left my corporate job within 3 years. And I did a lot of great things to transition within that time. I was always a huge drinker. I was always a blackout drinker. I mean, I truly loved it. And I drank 365 nights a year. And I was completely oblivious to it for a long time. But then I wasn't oblivious for many, many years. Like I knew it was an issue. I knew it was a problem. I tried very hard to control it, often unsuccessfully. I would say when my son was 6 months old, I like wrote myself a letter being like, oh shit, I think I have a serious problem with alcohol. Am I an alcoholic? I do not use that word now, but I debated it in a very, dear God, I don't want to be that way. As I think anyone does before they stop drinking, because there is a lot of stigma around it from people who don't drink, don't have an issue with drinking or don't understand it. For years, it took me, I finally quit when he was 8 years old. And those years were not, there were highlights and there were a lot of lowlights. And I think that, I mean, alcohol would have been, one of the things that really motivated me, I mean, I was drinking a bottle of wine a night or more. Often my husband couldn't wake me up off the couch and I would like wake up at 3 a.m. on the couch. I had little and big things starting to slip, although nobody ever said anything to me. Like I was very high achieving and therefore I was like, what? I'm only hurting myself. Like I got everything done and then I would drink to blackout. On a
but like, that's okay. It's all right because it's only me I'm hurting.
Yeah, and it's my reward. Like Emma, and so I thought about the idea of like he's 8 years old. One of them, I mean, I adore my kids. They're like the, like you were talking about your kid Ben, like that level of like love, and I just want to squeeze them. And they're, you know, my son's 14 now, and he's 6'1", and I imagined when he was 18, would he want to bring his friends home in the evening? If I was knowing that drinking is progressive, knowing where it goes, that scared me more than anything. I was like, I want this relationship with him. I don't want him not to want to bring his friends home because his mom is, you know, buzzed, which means drunk. You know what I mean? Like on the daily.
We are just going to take a brief break from this fabulous chat with Casey Davison from Hello Someday. Really, really enjoying this chat. My God, so much of what she says is resonating. I hope you're getting a lot out of this episode as well. Before we get back to Casey, and there is so much more to talk about, we very quickly want to remind you about what is happening. Is it next week, Ben? Have I got this right? Next week?
Yes. Tuesday the 4th of April. You heard him on the podcast last week. It's Nigel Jones. He's delivering his brand new course, Reroot Yourself, The Healing Power of Nature. It's going to be so good. If you've not heard last week's episode yet, please do go back and have a listen. Like, it's just, like, he's telling us the science behind why nature actually heals. And it's little things like, you know, when he was talking about birdsong last week?
Yeah, love it.
I've thought about that every time I've gone to the park now. I've actually told loads of people and really bored them. I'd be like, did you know that it's not just the tune that you like when you hear birdsong? Birds actually tweet at a frequency that's pleasing for the human ear.
Seriously.
Anyway.
But it's true. You know what? Talking of being a sad sack, when I was at work today doing my show on BBC Radio Lancashire, if you want to take a listen, weekdays 10 till 2, we were talking about, is it called misophonia? Misophonia?
Yeah. Jem says that she has this.
Yes. My daughter 1,000,000% has this. She can't even bear the sound of me breathing. Maybe there's more to it than that.
I get told that. She's like, can you stop breathing?
Stop.
I'm like, no,
yeah.
I will die, Jem.
Yeah,
no, I can't stop fucking breathing.
So we were talking about that. This is a really long-winded way of bringing it back to nature.
If you've never heard of misophonia, by the way, it's when someone hears someone else making noise. Eating, yeah.
Clacking.
I can't eat unless the radio or the TV's on in the background. Like, unless there's other noise in the room, she won't let me eat. And it's really annoying because, Married at First Sight Australia's back, Sharon. So we're watching Married at First Sight Australia and I'll be halfway through one of my 10-calorie jellies and she'll pause it because she'll want to say something. And I've got to just freeze. So like, you know, I've got this spoon nearly to my lips and I can't...
Don't wobble it.
Do anything. Yeah. And sorry. Anyway, we're going off track.
We are going off
misophonia, nature. Yes.
So we were talking about that and we were talking about the sounds, obviously, that really, really annoy you, but also the sounds that you love. And this was this morning I was going, well, actually, one of my favourite sounds is the oyster catcher. I didn't go into why, you know, because it marked the beginning of my sobriety of, many, many years of drinking. But it's true. And I'm like, it's beautiful. And there is a pitch that resonates with the human ear. And I'm thinking is, what have you become? You absolute sad sack. But it's because Nigel's got under my skin.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And mine. Can I ask how many texts did you get in saying, the sound that annoys me the most is Sharon Hartley on BBC Radio Lancashire?
Funnily enough, there were one or two.
Yeah,
and he ended it with the word lol. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Lol. Right, Nigel's course, let's get back to business. It's basically going to teach you, like, don't go out mindlessly into nature. You know, go out there and it's going to teach you how you can actually use the natural world that's around us to improve physical, mental well-being. It's going to be so good. And Nigel really has put in so much work and research into this. If you'd like to join us, it starts next Tuesday, 7 p.m. GMT. A warning to all of our international audience, because we know that you're out there.
And to me and you, to be honest.
Yeah, the clocks have gone back. So just Google it now.
No, they haven't.
The clocks go back. They have when this comes out.
No, they haven't. They've sprung forward.
Oh.
Do you want to start that bit again, okay, then?
No. Whatever. Did you know that the clocks spring forward in America first, and then Australia, and then us? It's just all in different weeks.
Right,
why
so
do
basically,
we, come on, guys.
In a nutshell.
It's a global world.
Change.
Just Google the time.
Yeah, check
Google it. 7 p.m. GMT in your time zone. It'll be the Tuesday afternoon if you're an American listener Canadian listener. It will be early Wednesday morning if you are Australia, New Zealand. But you know what?
Correct.
Nigel, he spoke to us about it last week. He's always up at 5:30 on the dot. It's a great time to get up and get at him. Maybe you want to start your day learning about how nature can heal you later on that day
if
you're in Australia.
Get out there. Get grubby. Get amongst it.
Yeah. Can we also just say at this point, you know, we really appreciate, if you book onto these courses, we really appreciate you supporting us. I saw a meme the other day, Shaz, that I really liked, and I posted it in our community, which said, every time you buy from a small business, a real person does a happy dance.
Yeah, watch this.
And
watch
it is like us. We do that. Oh, wow. I mean, glad that you can't see it, actually, dear listener.
That was me, happy dance.
There's a lot of bottom on my Zoom screen just then.
There was.
But, you know, by signing up to this course, even if you can't make it kind of at the time live, then you can watch all the videos are recorded, and we'll send out the link straight afterwards so that if you miss it, you can just click on it. It'll take you into the Zoom recording and you can watch it back. Like, you get all the information. If you do sign up to this course, you are supporting us and you're supporting Over the Influence and what we're trying to do here, which is to normalise sobriety. And also, it's this big thing, isn't it, Shaz? You give up one thing,
you gain
so much more.
So
giving up alcohol
more.
Really is just the beginning. These courses are available for members, community members. They are available for non-members as well. Just go to the website, have a look. If you're a member, it's in the drop-down bit in the members area. If you're not a member, OTI courses along the top. Click there. Click Nigel's big happy face where it says more info and book on there. We honestly massively appreciate it, and we really hope it helps.
Fantastic stuff. It's so true, that. And I think we talk about this in the episode with Nigel, don't we, that came out a couple of weeks ago now. Yes, obviously, you know, the whole sober journey starts with removing alcohol. It starts with not having that drink. And then step by step by step, your world opens up in ways you didn't believe. You know, me and Ben banging on about nature and flipping oyster catchers and getting down into the soil. And what was it with you? Birds resonating in your ears or something? I don't know.
An orange light. I've been giving that. I've been doing that one too.
Love that.
Did you know that orange lights, because it's got longer anyway?
Yeah,
I've been boring.
Stop yourself. Stop
friends
yourself.
And family.
It's great. I love it.
And you can bore your friends and family too by signing up.
So as Ben said, you can head to the website overtheinfluence.co.uk, or by all means, just ping us an email and we will do our very best to help. OTIHQ@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's get back to the chat with Casey.
I want to ask about, like, how long after you removed alcohol did you start to make these big life changes? You know, from director of a Fortune 500 company to podcaster, coach. I was listening to your podcast when walking around the park a couple of weeks ago. It was the episode "You Are Not Stuck." I think I was feeling pretty down in the dumps that day, and I was feeling a bit stuck, because I thought, okay, Casey's speaking to me here. This is the episode for me. And you were talking about that kind of corporate existence that you had. I'm not coming on to you now. Here, I've got a fiance and a baby, just so you know. But you are, you know, an intelligent woman. You're a confident woman. You know, you are a capable person. You're a director of a Fortune 500 company. But it almost feels like you kind of almost sleptwalked into this position and this place in corporate world that you really weren't happy with. So how long did it take you to make the change and go, right, okay, you know what? I've removed alcohol. Let's make some more changes.
Yeah. most of the women I coach, and I think this is a really personality tendency that tends to go to alcohol, I call us like overachieving people pleasers, right? Like gold star girls. Like we were the straight A girls in high school and college and kind of like the straight A girls in whatever career you have, meaning you are terrified to fail. So you're going to work harder than anyone else with the biggest smile on your face and have zero boundaries and not take care of yourself and feel immense anxiety because that's how you get positive reinforcement, et cetera, et cetera. And then as you move up, a lot of your self-worth and ego comes from your job. I mean, that was very positive for me when I met other people. And then also I was the primary breadwinner in my family. And I had two kids and a mortgage. My husband, we met in consulting, but as I kept moving up the corporate ladder, he decided he wanted to be a teacher and a coach. So he was a sixth grade teacher for 12 years, which is amazing and wonderful. And yet I made three times the money he made. And so I was doing everything I could to manage my mental health and yet felt trapped and unhappy and anxious and, constant. I used to set my alarm for midnight because I was in charge of online sales, basically. And we tracked our sales by the day, year over year, by the week, by the month. The goals always went up. The profit margin always went up. Your expenses were always supposed to go down. So I would be putting my daughter to bed. This is in sobriety. When I was drinking, I was passed out, right? I didn't have to think about this till the next morning. But I would fall asleep with her many times. And I would set my alarm for like 11:55 p.m. so that I could go on and screenshot what the sales were for the day. I could check it in the morning. It was weird. So, and I felt like doing that kept me safe. Like I felt like doing that meant I was doing a great job and therefore I could relax. So I quit drinking and did what a lot of people do, right? You figure out that you stop drinking, you feel a whole lot better, right? The aftermath problems go away. So alcohol is a depressant. It causes anxiety. It causes poor sleep, which does everything else. Hangovers, the worst, right? Feeling like shit about yourself, all that went away. And yet then you're left with like the underlying problems, which for me was imposter syndrome, financial security, personal security, all the childhood shit, right, that comes up. And I went to my doctor and said, okay, I can't drink. I'm not going back to that. I knew enough, but I cannot feel this way anymore and you have to help me. And so I got on anti-anxiety medications. I started going to therapy once a week. I was doing exercise and meditation, all the things, and talking to people and getting support and not drinking. And I suddenly started feeling better and also peeling back the layers and getting more insight and had all these limiting beliefs. Like if I quit my job, it'll just be same shit, different day. Every corporate is the same. Like, but at least in my job, I like people and I've earned up some benefit of the doubt. And like, they don't make me travel a lot and I can go to my son's baseball games at 4 p.m. Like I'm waking up with anxiety all the time and like doing all this stuff. Like my bar for what was good enough was so low in terms of personal satisfaction. But you do enough work and you're like, your interests expand and you have more time and energy. And so I kind of was like, I kind of want to be a life coach, right? You're doing all this self-help. You're doing all this excavation. You're meeting incredible people in sobriety. You just do. And a friend of mine was going to school to become a life coach too. We always talked about it, but I was like, I'm 4 years off, not now. My name of my company and my podcast is Hello Someday, because I was in that like, someday I'll do this, but not right now. And then she was going, I looked up the program, I looked up the money, I looked up the dates. I was like, I could do this. And I went to my husband, because I was still in that like people pleasing, I need permission to do things, which my poor husband, I do not ask permission anymore. I let him know and have a conversation about how it's going to work and take his feedback, but I do not. And I said, babe, what do you think about this? I'll use my bonus. It will all, you know, the weekend. All I need from you is three weekends, three-day weekends where you can take the kids. My kids were really young. He's like, honey, you're 42 years old. At what point do you get to do something just because you want to? Like, why are you asking me permission for this? I mean, I was like, worst case scenario, I get a year of personal development. Best case, this is my next 20-year career and I'm good at it. I like it. And so I did it. So that was 2 years after I stopped drinking, I entered the program. Somewhere in between, I was like in tears with my husband being like, I don't want to do this job 5 years from now. I don't want to do this job tomorrow. So there was definitely some like awareness, and with my therapist encouraged me, which cracks me up. My husband's like, I've been telling you this for a decade. Your therapist says it once and you're like, but I was like, dude, you have sunk cost in this marriage. This impacts your life. You've got an agenda. That's what I thought about whatever my husband said, or like, he doesn't mean it. So I went back to coaching school. I started a side hustle. What's incredible is I could barely cope with my career and kids when I was drinking. I stopped drinking, same job, same marriage, same kids. I somehow managed to go back to a 9-month coaching program, start a business, start coaching people on the side, build up, you know, an audience, all while working full time at the same Fortune 500 company. I mean, it's incredible what you are capable of, the degree to which you're like dragging yourself down with alcohol with like this ball and chain on your ankle. And I was more relaxed and I did things for myself. I mean, it was amazing. And then a little while in, I was like, I'm going to give it a shot. And I gave myself a year, and turns out it went really well. So that was 4 years ago that I went full-time coaching.
So much of what you said, I'm nodding along like, yeah.
Is it your same experience? Yeah. I mean, you did so much as well with the podcast and starting this whole deal.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And sometimes I still do pinch myself, and I still feel amazing pride. And I'm so relieved that I decided to do this. Is it a regret I didn't do it sooner? With hindsight, you know, we're all experts, aren't we? You can look back and go, I should have done it in my 30s, but I didn't. I did it when I was 44. But what you've just said there, and this applies to everybody, but just speaking on behalf of the women that get in touch with Over the Influence, women that hit 40 and have been doing this for a long time. And by doing this, I mean drinking, you know, and it starts off socially, and then it's the mummy wine culture, and then it's a bottle of wine a night, and then some. You've just talked there about that ball and chain, which is alcohol. But until you cut it, until you remove it, oh my God, if only you knew what was coming your way. But you need to go through it in order to experience it. And it is, it's an ever-evolving journey, isn't it, Casey? It never stops.
Yeah.
It's not without its hitches, and life still throws shit in your way. We know all that, but you can deal with it because you're not drinking alcohol. It's the opportunity. It's the real confidence, not the fake confidence. It's things that just sort of happen on a daily basis that make you stronger and reveals who you really are. And it's utterly bloody glorious and really exciting. Again, I don't have a question. I just went on a mega rant there.
Oh, I love it. And I think about it as like divine breadcrumbs, and I am not religious at all. But the idea that, you know, I used to be that gold star girl where I was like, I am not going to start anything. I mean, in the same way I approached coaching with my husband, like, it's 9 months, I planned it out, I've got the money, I've got XYZ, let me lower the bar so I can definitely beat it. And once I stopped drinking, just the idea of like, start before you're ready, and you're going to take one step in the right direction and the next step will appear, and you will be sort of like in this zigzag pattern, led somewhere good. And even if you take a step in the wrong direction, that'll be information that you will now have to take the next right thing. I am so much more trusting and open and optimistic and resilient than I ever was when I was drinking. I didn't realize the degree to which I was making all my choices based on fear.
Obviously, you could have been a director of a Fortune 500 company who decided to leave that company and become a life coach, because I'm sure that people have left these companies to become life coaches as drinkers. But could you have done that if you'd still been a drinker? And why?
Well, first of all, I think I would have been terrible at it. Like, when, you know, I honestly, you know, I tell people this all the time. I did therapy for years when I was drinking. I find it, if you're struggling with alcohol, it's almost impossible to do any real work beyond that because it absorbs so much of your time and energy. But also, I used to wake up every day and the first thing I would say to myself is, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get your shit together. Why can't you cope with life? I would never have left a situation where I got any degree of security. I wouldn't have bet on myself. But also that I felt like gave me some measure of external validation so that people would think there's nothing to see here with my drinking. And I also, you know, you have to work through all these limiting beliefs and fears that you have when you make any big decision. And my therapist actually was the one who told me to do it. I know. My husband, like, for fuck's sake. But at one point, she was like, I was like, nobody will hire me. I'll never make any money. This isn't a legitimate job. And she said to me, like, good therapists always have a wait list and good life coaches will always have a wait list. I was a huge drinker that I struggled with. I live in Seattle, which is the home of Microsoft, Expedia, Amazon, et cetera. She was like, I see women every week, just like where you were 5 years ago. I would refer them to you in an instant because they're drinking way too much. They have a ton of shit to sort through. And coming to see me for 50 minutes a week isn't what they need, you know? And that just gave me the confidence that someone I completely respected, who had all this training, all this experience, thought that the work that I wanted to do was valid enough that she would refer her people to me, knowing that I was just starting out. And so, yeah, I never would have made the change, but I also would have sucked at it. I was talking to my husband and he was like, you know what? Okay, you're married, Ben, right?
Soon to be married.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're in a long-term relationship. He said that to me, like, I don't know how to say this without offending you. And I was like, all right, you're about to totally offend me, you know, like the worst. And he was like, can you be a coach if, like, and he basically meant you're kind of fucked up, right? Like, you're on medication and you, like, used to drink a lot and, like, you're in therapy. And I was just like, oh, babe, I wouldn't go to anyone for quitting drinking who isn't dealing with that shit. Like, they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't understand. And he was like, all right, cool. I just was like, you know, basically he was cracking me up. Like, fucked up. Can you actually help people?
There is love. Nothing better. Nothing better than sharing lived experience with other people that get it. Right at the start of this chat, Casey, you talked about the fact that you had support, you know, when you started out doing this. It's why OTI exists, so people don't feel like they're social lepers, like they don't feel they're on their own, like they don't feel that they're the weird ones. I have never, ever in my life laughed as much and made some glorious friendships with this bunch of people who've all got a story to tell. They've all started somewhere. And the one thing we've got in common is that everybody at some point and to whatever level used to drink. And I just think that the sober community and sober coaches and anybody doing this shizzle, it's just, it's such epic fun, tinged with a lot of shit. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's not all.
Like Kay said, you've got to do the work. I love that. You know, you have got to do the work.
Yeah, completely. But I'll tell you what, it's as you know, to quote you, Ben, if you are consistent and you keep showing up and you keep putting the work in, hellfire, it pays off. And it literally is a whole new world, isn't it, Casey?
I think I actually love ex-drinkers. Like, they are my favorite people
to hang out with.
And like you said, I've never laughed so hard because, one, you know, they've had like some pretty fucking funny stories happen, right? Like, yeah. You know, stuff went down. Like, yeah, I had a conversation with another sober podcaster. It's actually a great friend of mine, Jill, from Sober Powered. And we had this conversation about, like, all right, what's the worst place you've ever thrown up on yourself? And we were crying. We were laughing so hard. But they've also done work, right? They've gotten vulnerable. They've gotten self-aware. They're focused on self-improvement. They're real. There is very little, like, keeping up with the Joneses, positioning. Oh, I'm fine, but I'm so busy. You know, like, we're like, dude, my kid's a fucking pain in the ass. I'm going through a emotional crisis and, you know, whatever. But there's this underlying level of laughing and I get it. And like, you and I mean, you can meet someone and they're like, oh yeah, I stopped drinking. And you're immediately, of course, like, oh, how long ago? And you're like, oh, I stopped drinking X number of years ago. Like, nothing more needs to be said. You know, where they are in their journey, you know, shit they went through, you get it. And then, like, I just feel like you have this heart connection with anyone who's made this choice. And you know, even if they want to make this choice, you know how hard it is. Like, life situations are different, but the emotions and the fears, it's so universal.
I have to say, Sharon, the world's had some great collaborations, hasn't it? I'm thinking, you know, Lennon and McCartney, Kylie and Jason, oh, chips and curry sauce. That's a good one. The OTI meets the Hello Someday podcast collaboration, I feel, has been a good one. Part one, because we are, of course, returning.
Yeah,
it feels like we are just getting warmed up now, which
completely.
Is great. We're going back on your podcast soon, Casey.
Yeah, very soon. And we're going to talk about, like, why to rethink your drinking, even if you're not that, quote unquote, that bad. And one of the things I love is we often are like, oh, I didn't have any consequences. When you look back, there are, I call it the death of a thousand cuts. I mean, little things and big things were certainly happening. There are a shitload of lowlights for anyone to get to the point in a society that glorifies alcohol and the way that alcohol works in terms of spiking your dopamine and putting you into withdrawal and craving. For anyone to get to that point where they decide they need to stop drinking or they want to stop drinking, you know, I love how we say, oh, even if you're not that bad, like, there's a lot of shit that goes into that that is not good. But the idea is that I think that conversation is so important because it's where people get stuck, right? I've got all these things that are pulling me and telling me that alcohol isn't working, and yet I'm not, quote unquote, that bad.
She making you feel bad, Shaz? It's making me feel bad.
Are we Why?
Just like, come on our podcast, and what do you want to talk about then? Come on, what are you here to say? And you're like, well, we're going to be talking about this, and we've got these bullet points, and I hope you're prepared and ready for the interview.
I love the way you guys run this podcast. I think it's something that is needed. People need to laugh. They need to hear stories. They need to keep it real. So... Yeah. I mean,
and
I think it's
all of our listeners enjoy unstructured nonsense too, which is great.
Yeah.
Just two it's people from the north of England, wang it on.
Yeah, that's it.
Shaz, we've got to go.
Oh, yeah. We've got to go. Casey, we are out of time. I think that has got to be like the fastest episode ever in terms of time flying when you're having flipping AF fun. Casey, it's been an absolute pleasure. As Ben said, we cannot wait to come and chat on yeah. Hello Someday in the very, very near future. I've got the tab open on my computer. I just still haven't selected that flipping date because, you know, it's just life gets in the way.
That is organised. You've got a calendar that we could... Oh, my God.
She does it properly.
Oh, but my God, right? We need to talk offline here. I need to get some
money. Corporate life, you should do this, Ben. Like, it helps you a ton.
Yeah, that's it. I just reject anything corporate. I just like, get out. Ooh, God, it just gives me the shivers.
Casey, you are a wonderful woman. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat. Very quickly, before you go, remind us the name of the podcast and where they can find all the information about you and your coaching.
Yeah, of course. So my podcast is named the Hello Someday Podcast for Sober Curious Women. You can find it anywhere you listen, same as Over the Influence. All of my information is on hellosomedaycoaching.com. And I have a completely free 30-day guide to quitting drinking. It's like 30 pages long, all these, you know, free resources. So if you're interested in that, just grab that there.
Another fabulous guest and Over the Influence. We're lucky, aren't we? We're so, so lucky. We get so many amazing people to speak to. If you want any further info about what Casey does, if you just look up Hello Someday in your search engine, all the info is there. And she's really approachable. Lovely woman. Very, very funny. I got so much out of that. And we certainly hope you did as well. Before we go this week, we want to very quickly remind you about our fantastic new course that is launching next week with the brilliant Nigel Jones. We are we're big fans of Nigel. In fact, so much so, he's been on the podcast twice now. If you want to know about the course, go back and listen to his episode from a couple of weeks ago. It's called...
Last week.
Is it just last week?
Yeah.
Time zones and all that jazz. I soon get confused.
time zones.
Calendars, you know.
Time zones.
It's pathetic.
We're all in the same...
Anyway.
I know what you mean. We've recorded a lot of episodes recently. We've got a good few in the bag.
Yeah, we have. And I do get baffled as to where we're up to. Go back and listen to Nigel Jones. And we are talking about nature and this course that he's doing with us next week. It's called Reroute Yourself. And you know something? OMG, I've not even told you this, Ben. One of my favourite programmes on the telly, and this will come as no surprise at the moment, is David Attenborough, Nature God, on a Sunday night, BBC One, and on Thigh Player at 7 o'clock, and it's called Wild Isles, right? Watched his episode last week. I think it was it called Woodland or Trees? Oh my God, guess what he talked about in that episode?
Woodland and trees.
Yeah, and the wood...
The wood wide web.
Wide web! The wood wide web! Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, OMG, this is what Nigel's on about. All the trees are connected. And if you touch one tree, you're touching all the trees across the world and they're all interlinked. But it explained again the science behind it all. And I'm thinking, and this is what we're doing on the course with Nigel. Dead excited.
And how's it going to benefit me, Sharon?
Well, Ben, you are going to need to sign up to find out, to be honest. Get yourself on there. It's only £60 for members and £80 for non-members. Everybody is absolutely welcome. It'll benefit you in a million ways because it's all to do with...
Would it benefit my physical health to get outside more into nature, Sharon?
Yes, it would, Ben. It would benefit your physical health massively.
Would it benefit my mental health to understand how nature can heal?
Massively so. I think it's even more important than the physical side, actually, of being out in nature, because you're going to rack up your steps and get fresh air into your lungs. But the mental health benefits that come with it are second to none. And we know this from our own experience of early sobriety. I've banged on enough about how many times I watched a sunrise and I went back to the coast and I started crying, mostly with relief. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Physical health benefits, mental health benefits. And Nigel, to say he's passionate about this is a bit of an understatement, isn't it?
Just a bit. Look, join him. You will come away from it absolutely buzzing. Just forget about the information and the actual kind of educational side of this. Just, as you say, his enthusiasm for the subject will make you just like want to just dive straight out the front door, whether it's hammering it down with rain or glorious sunshine. Okay, Nigel, I'm going. But yes, please do join us if you need any more information. What's that email address, Sharon?
Oh, thanks for asking, Ben. It's otihq@overtheinfluence.co. .uk. I'll give it again in case you missed it. otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk.